Hey everyone, welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a weekly podcast about lifestyle and healthy eating. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative yet entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
We'll cover everything but the kitchen sink. Each week, we'll discuss topics ranging from how to protect yourself from developing cancer, spicy foods to rev up the libido, to caring for your palliative grandfather with Alzheimer's.
We'll also delve into more complex issues like, what the heck is oat milk? Why doesn't my butt fit into these jeans? And every guy's favorite question, will eating spinach really make it bigger? Join us each week as we strive to educate, enlighten, and entertain you.
So your 12-year-old daughter comes up and tells you that she has decided that she doesn't want to eat any more meat or dairy. She's been watching some horrifying documentaries revealing the dark side of industrial farming, chicken crowding, cow slaughters, and massive factory farming operations. Big sigh. You're proud of her for becoming informed and wanting a better future for animals. But you also think, what the heck are we going to make for supper? Isn't there some important nutrients that her growing body needs in this stage of her life? And what about those fun barbecue dinners and campfire hoagies in the summer? There's a feeling of loss, frustration, all muddled together with a realization that your baby is growing up and making her own decisions.
So Sandra, maybe we should elaborate for everyone what you mean, like what the issue is that we're going to be discussing today.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, you know, as the intro talks about, your vegetarian preteen daughter comes up and decides that she's going to be vegetarian. And with kids, I mean, most kids go through phases where they decide that they, you know, are separate from their parents and they're going to make their own decisions. And this is a big one because kids get to decide what and how much to eat. So it's a tricky, it could be a problem if you react like it's a problem,
right?
But it could be an opportunity too. So that might be, let's talk about the fact that it could be an opportunity, and an opportunity in many different ways for the whole family.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's a good way to look at it. I want to cover first though what the issues are with diet restrictive choices.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, preteens, girls, they're probably coming into the phase of menstruation and with their periods. And so they have some blood loss every month. And so their iron needs are going to be increased. So becoming vegetarian at this phase, you know, is a bit tricky because they actually have higher iron needs, and then they're cutting out these big iron-rich sources in their diet, the meat.
Meat is where you're getting iron,
yeah,
typically.
And that's the iron part of things. There's also the calcium and vitamin D. And, you know, with building bone mass, basically, osteoporosis is a pediatric disease, meaning...
Really?
Yeah, with geriatric consequences.
Ah, what does that mean?
Well, peak bone mass is built during our first 3 decades. So kids and adolescents and young adults, it's a really important time to build the skeleton and to get enough calcium and vitamin D in your diet. And so if you're going to cut out dairy, you have to make... smart, reasonable choices that include calcium-rich foods in a different way. So plant-based milk or, you know, other dairy, or sorry, other calcium-rich
milk
foods.
Milk alternatives, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what other issues are we looking at? What other nutrients are we needing to replace if you've stopped eating meat or you've cut out dairy? Or
that's a good question. B12 is a big one. So B12 sources are typically animal based. So there are ways to get vitamin B12, but it becomes more of you have to really look at what you're eating and be mindful of the choices you're making if you're going to become vegetarian. So the reason why I said it's an opportunity is maybe this is the time when the whole family could maybe reevaluate the family eating habits and diet and think, you know what? Maybe we could have more, you know, meatless Mondays or have like a few more vegetarian meals per week.
Yes, that's a great way to resolve that issue because it does affect the whole family. I remember when my dad was when I was younger, I was a teenager, I guess, and my dad had heart surgery and needed to we needed to change our whole diet at home for how he eats, which obviously affects how we all eat because we all share a meal together. So it changed everything for us. We stopped eating a lot of meat and started introducing things we'd never had before, like fish and different vegetables. And it definitely became an opportunity. It was fun and discovering these new dishes and whatnot. So definitely an opportunity for sure, if you look at it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it probably improved the health of the family for the long term too.
For sure.
You know, because now, you know, if you didn't make those changes when you were a teenager, then you might have gone along the same way that you guys were eating before. And, you know, maybe you'd have premature, you know, cardiac issues.
Premature. That's not a good word to say to a guy. There's nothing premature here.
Okay. We are going to talk on another podcast episode about sexy foods. Foods that can increase the libido and help in that aspect.
But that's not here.
But no, and we're not talking about ED either.
No, right now, none of that.
No, okay. It's a big important issue when if your preteen comes up to you and asks they want to change their diet, because it does have the ripple effects of affecting the whole family. Plus, you want to make sure that they're getting their nutrition so that they do grow up strong and healthy and don't have problems in the future.
Yeah, and there's the opportunities for kids are pretty limited to begin with. If you think of what's offered on the kids menu in a restaurant, or the things that a lot of families are feeding their kids just to make the kids happy, they're not getting a great nutritional base out of those options to begin with.
So. Oh, I know. It's incredible, the kids menus at restaurants sometimes, hot dogs and chicken fingers and fish sticks and fries, and you think, wow, this is what we're feeding our kids, and this is okay to do. Like, it, once in a while, fine, but if this is a regular, and if people take that as, oh, this is kids, it's on the kids menu,
this is the norm,
this is what we're gonna buy and have at home and feed our kids because that's what they like, that's actually very dangerous to, down the line, in terms of what nutrition they're getting.
Well, it really limits it limits the opportunities for the kids to try different things and learn that they like them.
Yeah, that's a exactly good point. Totally. Because if there's no variety, then how are they going to know if they like it or don't like it? And
exactly.
Yeah. And actually, this whole issue, the feeding relationship, is another episode. I really want to stick to the vegetarian preteen aspect of things because there's lots to cover with that.
Okay. Well, let's carry on then.
Yeah, absolutely. So when kids, they are requiring more iron-rich sources of food, you think, well, because if they're not going to have meat, for instance, and we don't know, like sometimes kids will say, I want to be vegetarian, and that doesn't, it's not black and white. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be vegan. you know, they could, a lot of vegetarians eat fish, shellfish, include eggs and milk.
And dairy, yeah.
Dairy. So, you know, it really, and it's good to not kind of pigeonhole them, because if you kind of, or the rest of the family, your siblings or whatever, say, oh, well, you said you're vegetarian, you can't eat that. Well, that's just, you know, making that the...
It reinforces in their mind that, oh, right, I can't eat that.
That's right. And then their options are much more limited. Their variety is limited, and their nutritional, you know, it might affect them nutritionally.
That's true. So what are some options then as far as, I don't want to say meal replacements, just replacing what you're not getting?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because that's, I think, what the challenge is with anyone in the families having a diet restriction. It's like, well, what do we eat then instead? We can't eat meat now. What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, and I think historically, you know, meals were kind of based around, okay, we're having meat and then the starch and the veggies, kind of as a side, like afterthought.
They're an afterthought.
Yeah, exactly. So, but if you look at Canada's Food Guide, the new one from 2019, it's a plate. It basically the plate ratio, and so half the plate is vegetables. So you want to build your meal around vegetables, anyways. So this is a good opportunity for the family to all eat healthier, and let's build the meal around the vegetables, and then a quarter as a plant-based protein, or that's where the meat would be, or it could be chicken or fish, or if it's for the vegetarian, then beans or nuts and seeds. So a plant-based
trail mix. Trail mix for dinner again. Oh man!
And then the other quarter of the plate that we didn't mention is the whole grain starch. So could be like wild rice or quinoa, or you know, a rye bread or whatever, whole wheat pasta. So there's lots of options for the whole grain. quarter part of the plate. What are you laughing about?
I'm just thinking of noodles, kids and noodles and Kraft dinner. And when you said the what did you call it? The starchy bit?
Yes.
I just thought noodles.
Oh, okay. So. Well, and that's funny because, you know, that's a good point. If you think of a spaghetti meal at a restaurant, you look at, you know, the plate ratio, and it's probably 6 servings of noodles, you know, 6 servings of the pasta, and then a little bit of some sort of vegetable sauce, maybe in the sauce, and then there's some meat in there probably too. So the ratio is kind of off with that type of meal.
Totally. Yeah. I just think most, a lot of the kids I know, teenagers, and when I was a teenager, it was, we lived on pasta. It was just the staple in the diet.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, Kraft dinner, Mr. Noodles. That's, yeah. And you know what? With any of those meals, you can actually make them healthier. So there's a way to, like, you have Kraft dinner and it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to just throw it away. You can actually make it and then maybe add some broccoli or add some peas into it, so that, and then tuna would be a good thing, or salmon. You can add that into the Kraft dinner and then you make it a meal.
Yeah, for sure. I used to do that too. And I actually heard a radio program where people were calling in saying how they ate their Kraft dinner, and there was some pretty interesting options there.
Oh yeah, like what, any examples?
I can't remember. I'm pretty open-minded when it comes to eating, so nothing really fazed me, but I think some of the reactions the DJs were having were pretty funny, but I always liked mine was salsa. That was my go-to, which seems pretty normal, but.
Well, it's funny. It seems normal to you, but I mean, that's the thing with food, like food culture, and it's funny because we have these certain ideas about how food should be eaten, and
right.
When you mix it up, then it's like you having French toast with you know, with ketchup or salsa, and people just go, what, that's French toast, it should be syrup.
Yeah, I know, but you don't put syrup on your eggs, and so like, well, it's just toast with eggs on it.
That's good.
I put ketchup on that. So
that's right.
Anyway, that's me. But
yeah, no, but that is really interesting because it kind of feeds into the culture of a family and family mealtime. Because kids,
what is that family mealtime? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, good question. Cause it is like a bit of an endangered species. The dining room table is like kind of becoming obsolete.
It's the workbench.
Yeah. Yeah. You leave papers and books on there or whatever. It's just, and a lot of times in a lot of households, that's where you have the Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner.
The Christmas chicken. Is that what you're going to say?
No, the Christmas dinner or the Thanksgiving dinner. It's like a special occasion thing. But you know what? We should really be having family meals a good proportion of the week, like eating together, because it really is important for kids' psychological development and physical health too, because you eat better when you have a meal together. You're going to probably eat more vegetables and whole grains, and you're going to, yeah, just.
Well, it's a prepared meal rather than a box of crackers.
That's right. Because that's what happens, right?
Yeah. You know, it's kids, totally what happens.
Yeah, they go on their device and they go to separate parts in the house and they, get some popcorn going or, like you said, crackers and cheese or whatever. And that's not a meal. Like, you know, it's not.
Or when the meal's ready, they're full. So they don't show up for the family dinner.
That's right. Yeah. So, but family meals are really key. And we'll come back to that in a bit. But yeah, it's, let's take this issue as an opportunity. And you can go down a good, a positive behavior path with this for the whole family. So changing the eating habits of the whole family, and maybe pick like each person in the family has a responsibility for making one meal a week, so that you're all becoming part of this transition, and that you're all contributing to the family dinner.
Yeah, and I think nowadays. Like when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of options outside of the realm of meat and potatoes kind of dinners. You know, there wasn't vegetarian options other than eating vegetables. But I think nowadays there's sections in the grocery store that are dedicated to this, all these different meals that are non-meat or non-dairy. And so there's way more options available now for people.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you don't even have to get a prepared meal. You can cook from scratch and use a crock pot. You could just make a bean dish, beans, lentils, legumes, black bean burrito,
because they're full of protein.
Yeah,
right. Beans. See, I didn't know that before. Oh. I met you. I didn't know about the power of the bean other than they make you gassy.
Well, not everybody. If you eat them more often, actually helps. So, yeah. But it's interesting because there's way more, like you said, there's way more awareness around plant-based meals, and there's cookbooks. There's lots of information on the internet, recipes using different nuts and seeds and beans and lentils and legumes, and for some, eggs, eating eggs for a meal. Like, there's lots of different ways to make eggs, and fish and seafood, like prawns or clam chowder. Like, there's so many different opportunities for non-beef, or just a different option than having meat.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, they just don't realize there's that many options out there. And so when they think, oh my God, a vegetarian, how am I going to eat? But once you do a little digging and
experimenting in the kitchen.
Yeah, for sure. Just realizing how it's probably a little bit of a challenge at first, but once you're on it, it's easy.
Well, it's like anything you learn, a new skill. There's a learning curve, right? And you might, say, oh, okay, this recipe worked out, or this recipe, everyone hated it. Well, you're not going to do that again. Mm-hmm. So, it totally depends. But the other thing with dairy, like we're talking about meat, but if dairy is kind of excluded, it's a big way to get calcium and vitamin D. And so failure to build growing bones during childhood and adolescent years basically kind of equates to fractures later in life.
Right. You were mentioning that before. It's how important it is to eat, grow your body strong when you're young.
I see it all the time. I work in long-term care, and people that, especially women, they're more prone to osteoporosis. But if, you know, oh, they're lactose intolerant or they don't drink any milk. And yeah, these are the people that typically have more frail skeleton and more like osteoporosis, and they are at risk for falling, fractures, you know. It's really a bad thing when you're elderly to have weak bones.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's not something that's likely easy to fix.
No.
At that age.
Well, it is. I mean, it's treatable. But like you said, I mean, if you can build a strong skeleton when you're young, like in the first three decades, that's where your peak bone mass is, you know, it's really important.
Just prevent it in the first place. It's exactly. Always prevention is always better than treating it after the fact anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and I'm hoping that people, if they're deciding not to have dairy, that they are choosing those plant-based milk alternatives that have the calcium and vitamin D fortification, because then you are still getting your calcium.
Right.
But there's also other ways, like you can get calcium out of sesame seeds and out of almonds and broccoli, but the amount that you have to eat to compare to a cup of fortified plant-based milk or dairy is a lot. Like you'd have like 16 cups of broccoli.
Holy.
Yeah.
It's like beep, beep, beep. Here comes the broccoli truck again. All right, kids, get your wheelbarrows out.
Right. Oh, I know. That's about it. It's, yeah. So, you know, you need, most people need about 3 servings of calcium-rich foods or fluid a day. So if you just cut out dairy, like, oh, I'm not having yogurt anymore, I'm not having cheese, and I'm not having milk. Okay, well, let's figure out some alternatives here so that you don't end up having osteoporosis when you get older, because it will happen probably when you're in your 60s. And that's young, you know, these days. Like, you can have a strong skeleton up until you're 100 if you...
I'm going to be kicking butt when I'm in my 60s.
Yeah.
Because I'm married to a dietitian.
So
I'm learning these things.
And we are going to talk about, you know, longevity and healthy eating into your older years in an episode. So I'm
right.
Looking forward
to that.
And
also sexy foods, you said.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that at one point, too. And like the mind diet. So helping to prevent dementia. So.
And sexy foods.
Okay. Maybe we should do that one next.
Oh, we could do.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, what was I going to ask you? No, I can't remember.
Well, I think I remember we were discussing the food choices and like how restaurant menus and that kind of stuff. But if you think of like some kids, like teenagers in the high school, they're going to the cafeteria at lunch, and, you know, maybe they didn't eat breakfast before they went to school. And then there's lunchtime and, okay, oh, I'm vegetarian. They remind themselves. Okay, what's the options? Oh, I can't have a burger, and I can't have a hot dog, and I can't have chicken strips. Fries. I'll get fries. Okay. Oh, and there's a Danish. I can have a fries and a Danish. So there you go. That's so is that really healthier than, you know, the other options? So, you know, becoming vegetarian, in air quotes, isn't necessarily healthier if you're going to choose, you know, refined products that are non-meat, like so Danishes and donuts and rice cakes and rice crackers. And, you know, just because it's not coming from an animal doesn't mean it's healthier. So you really have to be cautious and, you know, choose the healthy, you know, veggies and fruits and whole grains.
Right. And the other thing too with meat and a lot of the proteins is they fill you up. So if you're not getting that, you're not feeling full, then what are you going to be snacking on in order to fill your belly?
I know. And you know, the other thing is with schools, like you can't bring peanut butter or peanut products a lot of times because of the allergies.
Right.
And so that's a real good alternative for people that are, you know, are becoming vegetarian. They use peanut butter a lot. And so that's a little bit of an issue. So I've seen all this in talking with parents in the past and just, you know, what to do and how do I feed my child?
Right. I remember what I was going to ask you and or just mention anyway is that the I think a lot of the issues these days, especially with teenagers, is the influence of social media and girls, especially with body image, trying to keep up or trying to reach a certain ideal, and perhaps a lot of their food choices or restrictions are coming from there.
Absolutely. Or they've seen their friends, you know, oh, so-and-so is becoming vegetarian or, you know, oh, maybe I can start like, you know, restricting calories or whatever. And that might be a different episode, but it's definitely impacts, you know, kids and adults, social media. So it is a phase of life for preteens. Their body is changing and they might start menstruating. So there's all these other issues. And the importance of family meals, because they have shown that kids that don't have the regular family meal gathering where they go around the table and eat a meal regularly, they are more likely to have, well, poor grades. So in school, they are more likely to get into riskier behaviors as teenagers. So alcohol use, drug use, early teenage pregnancy, and suicide, unfortunately. It's a dark, dark world for kids that don't have that connection with an adult regularly. And so it's really important for kids to kind of, the family meal is the perfect opportunity to just, you know, connect.
And it's just the way our world is these days with both parents working and just so many more activities going on for kids. It's hard to have the time to sit down as a family on a regular basis. And maybe we don't realize the detriments, detrimental effects rather that's having. So it's good to hear about that and hear sort of, yeah, some of the issues it's causing and maybe try to make that a focus.
Or a priority. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
While you're cooking your non-meat meal as a family, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You won't be out stealing cars and or getting pregnant in them. Or
Right.
That's more fun to hang out with mom and dad.
Yes, for at least till they're 18 or, you know. Anyways, so this has been awesome. And I think we should wrap this up. And I just want to say, if this happens to you, then maybe take this as an opportunity to reevaluate your family's eating habits and maybe come together and get some ideas on some plant-based eating and some meals and, you know, just try to get creative in the kitchen.
Creative in the kitchen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with our sexy food podcast too. Can't wait.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Sandra, again for your expertise. And we will talk more next time.
Thanks, Rob.
So that went pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
Talked about everything we needed to talk about. I'm super hungry though. Do you want to, I think there's those burgers from last night.
And fries.
And fries, exactly. Can't forget the fries. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.